Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Give it to me!
Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where sometimes the things are so obvious they punch you in the eye teeth, and other times you just didn't really realize what that tickle in the back of your neck was all about until, oh my goodness, all of a sudden the third person mentioned it, and you were like, dude, Siri, remind me on Friday at 2 p.m. that this is a thing.
Sometimes the tickle in the back of your neck is your eye teeth.
That too. Yeah, that good one. Good point. Good point, Tom Merritt.
By the way, in our continuing coverage of how wrong can Tom get, AOC does a record-setting Twitch stream of Among Us.
I feel like you might have manifested somehow. Like you might have like created, which by the way, right. Something manifesting. You might like have created
a small seed of doubt, and Manny was like, ha, 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 ha.
A tsunami. Of thingness.
Amazing.
We're having tournaments at work now. This has never, there is no game in history where we are now organizing tournaments at work. Like we're going to have a team Among Us tournament. Yeah, it's like an thing. It's the thingest thing that's come along since like Lil Nas X.
Yeah, we were on Lil Nas X.
That's got to hurt.
On our own. I know. We needed Manny
Tried. Rich and I tried to save you from yourselves on that one. I'm just going to say.
Well, you know, these things, this is how we learn. You know, this is how we grow.
This, what you're witnessing here is the excellent modeling of accepting mistakes, acknowledging them, moving on together in a productive and frankly fun and entertaining way for everyone.
Right.
Tom is a grown up.
Who could possibly learn from this? In the world today. I have no idea.
No, that's a comment on literally almost nothing.
Nothing at all.
Almost. Almost nothing.
Speaking of nothing, my first thing is it's kind of a check. I want to check on this. I've noticed more folks responding, especially on social media, with instead of no or a more aggressive, you know, like you're wrong, just starting their contradictory statement with nah, N-A-H.
Yep.
It kind of softens the blow.
It kind of does. It's like friendlier a little bit. No less negating. I mean, right. It's a no. It's a hard no, but it's a friendly hard no.
Yeah, it's I have found when I am on the receiving end of it that I don't get my backup as quick. I'm not, you know, it's not like, no, man, you're wrong. And I don't get the impulse to be like, no, you're wrong. And it's an XKCD comic suddenly. It's the, nah, I just think this. And it's like, oh, well, they just think that. That's fine.
Yeah. You know what? How was that not invented sooner? The kinder, gentler no. It's sort of like you can either lay on the car horn or you can do the little like the little fist toop. Bump, the beep, beep.
Yep. Yep.
And the beep, beep is like, you don't get mad about that. Like, you're like, oh, thank you.
There are still situations where it may be better to not even say nah, to just engage in more productive conversation. But if you're going to do it, I feel like this is a better way to do it for sure.
It's really true. Yeah. I suggest a nice yes and.
Yeah. Yes and most is the, instances. Go with the improv way. That's the ideal.
You're totally right though. And this is such a good and classic like Tom find because it's very detailed, subtle, and not the kind of thing that you would think would rise to a thing exactly. And then you realize, oh my God, you're totally right. I see this everywhere. My son does it constantly.
I thought you were going to say it was a Tom thing because it's noticed by someone who's constantly corrected on the internet.
Wow. I wasn't thinking any of that, but we did just go deep there, didn't we, Tom?
Nah.
Or maybe your people on Twitter are more corrective, perhaps.
Or nicer about it.
Honestly,
they're
mine
more
are
corrective
all,
and nicer about it.
Mine are straight up still just no, period. No. Yeah. So
ooh,
I like yours.
Good point. Rich, our producer, points out that nah feels like it's right alongside low key. It's low key no.
Oh, that is so good. Mm-hmm. Low key no. Nah. Mm-hmm. Somebody should go edit Urban Dictionary right now. That's
do
incredible.
It. Hurry, run, cite our show. Would you do it? Thank
that's you. Incredible. Unlike Tom's subtle, piercing noticing of the evolution of the English language, I have chosen as my first thing something that is really more punch you in the eye teeth, and yet I think is still worthy of discussion, and that thing is Borat.
Wow, yeah. Well, yeah, right. Punch you in the eye teeth is absolutely right, and Borat right. is everywhere right now.
Everywhere. And on the one hand, it's not... On the one hand, it wouldn't seem like a thing because, like, yeah, there's a movie coming out and a lot right. of people are talking about it. And that happens all the time and it doesn't become a thing. Like that Christopher Nolan thing, whatever, Tenet, not a thing.
Right. Yeah, not a thing.
And again, right. it's the inexpressible. There's an amplifier effect or something. Some inexpressible difference that makes one thing a thing and the other thing not a thing. Borat is a freaking thing. Help me understand why.
Okay, we'll work through this together, but you're yeah. absolutely right, because I was going with you on this simply on the face of every movie that comes out has a little bit of press, but this one's seeming to get more, right, mm-hmm. in different arenas. That alone would make it a thing above and beyond any typical movie, but you pointed out something that I hadn't even thought of. This is a movie.
Right? Which... like, yes, that's
Bill
the part.
Was thing-ish, I guess.
Yes.
Tenet certainly was not a thing. Most movies don't become things
nope.
in the current circumstances.
Yeah, exactly. And this is, there's some, and I think there are probably many reasons why it's hitting at exactly the right time and then just like breaking through to thingness. I mean, in a way, I literally described Borat the other day to somebody as the October surprise. I was like, this movie might be the October surprise because here it is, this character. I mean, imagine, for one thing, to stay relevant and then re-arrive 14 years later as a character is pretty remarkable. To be, and then to do it in such a way where it is the opposite of a rehash. It's like a dagger into the heart of American culture. He's showing up, and he's showing up on like with YouTubers. Like he was on with David Dobrik, who, if you have a 14-year-old in the house, you'll know. Is a big deal YouTuber.
In the bullpen, I have David Dobrik, or I did, as a thing.
Dude, totally. He's a thing. And it just, I mean, the entire zeitgeist, I feel like, is filled with Borat. So many tweets about it. I mean, obviously it made national news with the Rudy Giuliani thing. Like, I know this is a lot of real coming into our show and I'm trying to avoid it, but there is just something about the combination of timing, attention, and I don't know, some sort of cultural accuracy that has just taken this into, I don't know, the thingosphere.
It has entered the thingosphere. It is not just the hyposphere. It is the thingosphere. Those are
yeah.
different things.
Yep. And I even saw, I think, like, the LA Times has a piece that's like the moment for more Borat. That for some reason, this is the moment. And oh my God, is it everywhere?
So to work through how, why is this a thing? I think part of it is that Borat's original appeal was sending up stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
And people who don't like Borat don't like it because it feels exploitative, that it's, you know, it's a gotcha thing where they're taking people and showing them at their worst and making fun of them.
Right.
But right now, I think because of the current circumstances, there's more appetite for that in certain
yeah.
quarters, you know? And so it's feeding a hungry populace for, yes, show me the absurdity. Point up the absurdity. The world is absurd and I need someone absurd to shine a light on it.
You
maybe
know,
that's it.
I think there is something to that, actually, because we have all, like so many of us, I think, feel unmoored from, I don't know, from reality. Like you feel like you're taking crazy pills all the time when you live in a world where, you know, some people are saying this is true and the other people are saying this is true. And you're pretty sure this thing is true, but you literally have people looking you in the face and saying like, nah. This is not true. And I'm trying to stay away from specifics here, but
yeah,
what I mean
yeah,
is
yeah,
the
yeah.
200 and something thousand people who have died,
right?
Like,
right.
This is not a thing. This is not a big deal, and it's barely even happening, and it's going to be gone. And you're just like, what? Wait, I feel, in the immortal words of Will Ferrell in Blades of Glory, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. And along comes Borat in the craziest possible container and is basically like, pops the balloon, lets all the helium out, and tells you, nope, it's just as bananas as you think. And maybe that's why it's like weirdly helpful.
I am curious about something, and I thought of this a couple of nights ago, and then Justin Robert Young mentioned it on his Politics, Politics, Politics program. How has Borat not avoided getting canceled?
Right, because this is terrible.
He's making fun of an ethnic population that he is not a member of.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention all the other things.
Well, that he's making fun of. That's just the beginning of it. But that's
at
base. Yeah. Like I'm. And I'm not advocating that he should get canceled. I'm not even treating that. I'm not even approaching that. I'm just saying, in a world where you can do very little and get canceled, mm-hmm. Borat isn't.
Yeah, I know. Maybe it's. I don't know if it's just that. I have heard that this movie, that people are reacting to the homophobia of it. As homophobia as opposed to a skewering of homophobia. And I haven't watched it, so I don't know for sure.
Okay. All right.
But I've heard a little bit of that. But that's it. The fact that that's it is also like, you would think that this is just not of our time at all. This entire character and concept.
Like not cool anymore.
I know.
But it's interesting to me.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Yeah. All right. So my next thing is going to help us deal with all of this, frankly.
Oh, great. Hit me. Yes.
Deep breathing.
Okay. Tell me more.
It's the rule of threes. I saw someone tweeting about it and didn't really pay much attention, but it was somebody that I usually, pay attention to. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Talking about deep breathing, I guess. Maybe they're into meditation, right? Then The Economist was interviewing someone, and I wish I could remember who, and I apologize that I can't. But it was someone in the medical profession who was saying, one of the really interesting things is that we're finding that just slowing down your breathing is important and has measurable effects on reducing inflammation and other positive effects. And we need to study this more. But just slowing down your breathing, taking deep breaths. And he had a whole explanation of how, the way we have evolved means that we don't breathe properly anymore because of both walking upright and how that changed our basic structure, but also the way we sit and stand differently now than we did, back on the savannah, et cetera, et cetera. I don't really know all the details and can't really give all of that directly, but he's like, if you think about your breathing and slow down your breathing, it really does relax you. It doesn't have to be meditation. Everybody thinks, mm-hmm. you got to go and do a minute of silence and say om. He's like, you can just slow down your breathing at any time and you will feel the effects. So after I heard that, I started doing it. I was like, yeah, this actually kind of works. And then I found an article in the journal Breathe for respiratory professionals called The Physiological Effects of Slow Breathing in the Healthy Human, citing a lot of anecdotal evidence on hemodynamics and heart rate variability and sinus arrhythmia, et cetera, and calling for more research. Basically, so like, let's find out what's behind the anecdotes and what actually works and what doesn't.
Like, why does it work?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. Wow. So do you feel like you're hearing about it more recently?
Well, I mean, this is the rule of threes, right? I heard it on Twitter, Economist, and then I saw the journal article. And the journal article showed up on Hacker News. This was not me going out looking for it. It just, somebody posted it to Hacker News, like, hey, check out this thing.
Which, as I said that, I'm like, of course it's a thing right now, because anxiety is probably as high as it's ever been.
Mm-hmm. So people are looking into anything that will help with that. Yeah.
And I will say that I started doing like the daily yoga thing.
Yeah.
And I really think that the biggest part of it that was helpful was the part where I would spend 20 to 30 minutes every day just breathing. Doing deep breathing. I mean, yes, yay muscles or whatever, but yeah. Fascinating. So true story about deep breathing. When I was a teenager was when Shirley MacLaine wrote this book about having out-of-body experiences. I don't know if you remember this.
Shirley MacLaine became a byword for out-of-body experience or paranormal stuff for a while. Like, what are you, Shirley MacLaine? Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, totally.
Totally. That. And so I read that book and I was like, ooh, I am going to do this. And so I would lay in bed every night and I would practice all the things that Shirley MacLaine said could help you have an out-of-body experience, which is basically like relaxation techniques and deep breathing. So you focus on your breathing and then you would like relax, like tense and relax each part of your body and whatever. And I can tell you that although I never ever did have an out-of-body experience, I got awesome at falling asleep. I can fall asleep anywhere. I have this thing down to like a 3-minute cycle, like pew, I'm out.
That's great.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. Pretty remarkable. Because you basically learned self-hypnosis accidentally.
I did. I'm still hoping for the out-of-body experience, but I'll take it. A lifetime.
One of these days, I'm going to see you just floating over to LA. Like, Molly, get back to your body.
Tap, tap, tap. Tom will be like, there's a logical explanation for this.
And it's called She Did It.
Yes. Inflatable paddle boards. That's
all you
got
to say. That's all you got to say.
I mean, right? And how did I not put this in the show sooner? The good news is that I think it was really this summer when the inflatable paddle boards hit like peak, max, uber, or unbelievably unavoidable thing.
Yeah. Some summers are hot girl summers. Some are inflatable paddleboard summers. That's what this one was. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that this is separate. Stand-up paddleboard had already been a thing.
Right.
Doing yoga and deep breathing on the stand-up paddleboard, all of that was a thing. And then at some point, some genius realized, and I think it's like Starboard is maybe the company. There was some company that came along and was like, oh, I have an idea, which is that stand-up paddleboards are huge, heavy, hard to store, and hard to transport. And a cool thing would be if they were inflatable. And now they are.
Why
and
not?
Everybody is buying. Everyone I know is buying these suckers. Everyone.
This is amazing. This is a revelation. You have changed my life.
Are you going to get one? They're so fun. I actually got an inflatable kayak because now honestly, it's spread to all kinds of inflatable water gear.
If we lived on the west side still of Los Angeles, right close to the water, I wouldn't even be thinking about it. I'd be ordering one at the moment. I would be Molly Wooding this during the show.
That's awesome.
We would, but we don't live as close to water as I would like.
Yeah.
So I'll have to think about it before I order it. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, don't look at the link that I put in the doc, which is like mensjournal.com from like literally 6 days ago or something this month being like 6 inflatable stand-up paddle boards that we love in 2020. But go to Decathlon, my favorite French sporting goods site and store. You might have a Decathlon in LA. They're like the IKEA of sporting goods. They're going to become a thing eventually, but there's only like 4 stores in the US right now. But they have no middleman and it's all sporting gear and it's like super inexpensive because it's their own brand, house brand stuff. Get one there. It's great. It's like $300.
Decathlon. Decathlon. Oh, man. They have them in the Bay Area, but not down here.
I know. You could drive up. Decathlon. So great. But anyway, because they have led to an entire genre of inflatable water sports stuff, I bought a inflatable kayak, and my ex-husband and his wife bought 2 inflatable paddle boards, and now we just have like a family set of gear. And it's
nice.
So great.
And then you just go out on Lake Merritt.
And then, speaking of the rule of threes, they bought 2. And then the other day, my friend texted me and she was like, I bought this fun thing, a stand-up paddleboard. Come and meet me.
Uh-huh.
For socially distanced, you know, water hangout in the bay. And I was like, boom, thing. Just like that.
My rule is 2's a selection bias, 3's a thing.
Yep. Totally. I do know one other family that bought a stand-up. It wasn't just the one family that bought 2, to be clear.
Yeah, no, and you got 3. You got a legit 3.
Mensjournal.com validates me as well.
Exactly.
Also very, very fun.
Stand-up paddleboard. Inflatable. Why? This is another one. How did it take so long?
I know.
Think of that.
Seriously.
It makes perfect sense.
Because you just put it in a backpack.
Because, I mean, paddleboards, there are people who are very serious about it who probably need a fiberglass paddleboard because they're competing in paddleboard competitions. But that's not most of us. No. We don't need that.
Nope. I was surprised to discover that the paddleboard is a more precise and difficult inflation challenge than the kayak, which only has to be like 1.5 PSI, and then the paddleboard has to be at like 300.
Oh, is that because you're standing? Does that cause more pressure?
I think so, and it needs to be even or something. I don't really know. But they, but Decathlon, my favorite store, sells a like a car pump that has a PSI gauge on it, which I'm sure they have those.
Decathlon.
Decathlon.
Let's get to your emails to feedback@itsathing.me. Fordo! Fordo's actually listening live and checking in the email. It's two Fordos. We need a third, and she's a thing.
She's always been a thing.
Yeah, Fordo's the original thing. Fordo's checking in and catching up, writing, apple cider vinegar is now such a thing that people in the know, not me, referred to it as ACV.
What?
People are now that familiar with the stuff. I had no idea. A friend who is a market researcher for a consumer products company that makes shampoo, aka the person in the know, told me this just recently.
Dang. Nailed it.
Also, my 14-year-old nephew sometimes says, yes, and I had no idea where he got it. Now I know it's a thing. I'm using a UK SIM card in Europe, and when the provider texts me that roaming is available in new non-UK countries that I enter, I get text messages that say, yes, roaming is enabled for you in Croatia, Slovenia, Italy, etc. I figured the yes thing must be a thing if Three Mobile is using it, but felt good to have it confirmed by you all. Come to think of it, if a big company like Three is now using it, that probably means it's on its way out soon, right? Yeah, probably right.
Maybe, but still.
Three of four, I think pandas are real. I really do.
Okay. Okay. You know, fair. Fair.
And four, Tom, I've enjoyed hearing about your interactions and adventures, big and small, with Eileen for more than 15 years now, and have decided that you two were the embodiment of hashtag relationship goals long before Kristen and Dax were. I think hashtag relationship goals with them were a thing a year or so ago. Ciao, my peeps.
Oh, and that's also so true.
I got all melty heart when I read that.
I know, that is so sweet. Fordo, you're the best.
You're the best. Thank you.
Also, boy, we've all been around a minute, huh?
Yeah, right.
Ooh, I can't believe the sentence I'm about to read. That is how good this is. Mm-hmm. Landon the branding nerd wrote in on Bland's. When do you ever get an internal rhyme structure that solid? Let me say it again. Landon, the branding nerd, wrote in on Bland's.
It's like a warm-up exercise for a poet.
Like, it totally is. That's incredible. And says, hi, Tom and Molly. Since I'm a branding nerd, I've been following the concept of Bland's, which were mentioned in the latest episode. This was basically the evolution of pastels into the realization that this, like, neutral branding palette is, in fact, a thing called Bland's. And Landon writes, while not completely the same thing, I got a kick out of this site with all the material you need to become a Bland. You can find it at blandbook.com.
Totally mundane trademark. Why stand out when you were born to fit in?
We don't think different because we don't look different. It's a Bland event speaker invite. Okay, that's really funny. And also shows us that Bland is a thing on lots of levels.
Bland social media guide. It's vital. We go viral because it's in dark text.
We don't start trends. We follow them. Copyright 2020. I'm just saying
so good.
That is amazing.
Lee Price wrote in with a revival thing. Look at what's on our screens. New editions of Press Your Luck, Supermarket Sweep returning this weekend, and The Weakest Link, hosted by a delightfully withering Jane Lynch. Ooh. It seems like reviving classic old game shows without any reality TV elements whatsoever is currently a thing. While we watch these, I'll be over here waiting for a better version of the ill-fated TV adaptation of You Don't Know Jack. They captured the feel of the video game, although the contestants truly didn't seem to know if they were supposed to play along with Paul Rubens as host being a jerk or not.
Life is confusing these days. I'm gonna give you a yes, a thumbs up on that. I think there is like a revival thing, and it could just be the difficulty of production these days, but there is a bit of a production,
isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh. Fascinating. All right. And then finally, Paul wrote in with Taco Bell thoughts, and now I want Taco Bell again, and says, I too am disappointed in the changes Taco Bell is making. The Mexican pizza was my reason to visit, but the loss of potatoes may be even greater considering it was their best meat alternative that lived in tacos, burritos, and cheesy bowls. Part of this removal is clearly to sunset items that aren't worth the value menu they were on. However, in the case of the Mexican pizza, Taco Bell blames the packaging that must be used to serve said item. Explaining the Mexican pizza removal decision, the brand noted that its packaging is annually responsible in the U.S. for 7 million pounds of paperboard material.
Okay, but they just came out with a big nachos thing that's got like a huge box.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got all kinds of other things like tostadas. I don't know. I believe that they're saying that. I'm not doubting the emailer here. I'm just
doubting the Taco Bell.
Yeah. And
the Crunchwrap Supreme comes in paper.
Right.
Well, and then I was about to offer a potential solution that just turned the Mexican pizza into a Crunchwrap Supreme. So never mind.
Carrie Townsend also wrote in saying that they make the Mexican pizza with crispy flour tortillas, not the regular tortillas. And I had a little back and forth of like, maybe they can just crisp up the existing tortillas and make me one. And she's like, no, they're different. I'm like, ah, crap. All right.
I'm just, you know what? This is just telling me I'm going to need to order it for tonight when I watch Borat. Because the Mexican pizza is still on the menu so far.
Get it while you can.
Totally going to.
All right. It is now time for the greatest part of any show that has ever been created in the world. This week, our shout outs, as created by our producer, Rich, are from the blog Idea Generator, powered by GPT-3, the machine learning algorithm.
Wow. All right. Awesome. So here's what you could put on your blog if you too supported the show at the shout out level, patreon.com/itsthing. Here we go. Brad Sparks is a co-founder of Open Energy Info, which is an open source project. He aims to provide accurate and publicly available information on energy, specifically electricity. In this interview, they talk about climate change, his involvement in the open source movement, and what he has learned about energy.
So here's the thing, folks. All Rich does is tell the machine learning algorithm Brad Sparks, and it created all of that on its own.
Fascinating.
We asked Mike Akins about breaking stereotypes, what it's like to be a young businessman, and what other people can learn from TED Prize winner Mohamed Yunus.
And actually, producer Rich says in the Discord, the prompt was, it's a thing, shout outs.
Even better.
Which explains the noun that will appear repeatedly in this next blurb. How do you get a shout out from influencers on social media? Learn how to get a shout out from top influencers, including Lee Price, Kevin Sill, and more. Includes free videos, tools, and methods for how to get a shout out from influencers, as well as how to get a shout out on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and more.
Using shout outs to grow your business. Shoutouts are posts that draw attention to Gabrielle Cohen and her business. You do this by being creative and thinking outside the box. Here's how to use shoutouts to enhance your business. I'm Tom Merritt for Tech Republic.
I mean, amazing. As the holidays approach, people are scrambling to come up with ways to say thank you to their friends and family. Instead of the same old greeting cards and fruit baskets, why not do something a little more personal? With these apps and sites, you can create personalized videos, customizable printable cards, and come up with other creative ways to say thanks to Louis St. Amour.
Wow, buried the lead. That was awesome.
Ah.
Andrew Wyatt is the latest winner of the Shoutout Scholarship. Woo-hoo. The travel blogger will receive a $1,500 scholarship. Proceeds from the Shoutout Scholarship benefit the SPJ Florida Pro Chapter.
Is it good for my business to do shoutouts? What distinguishes a shoutout from a retweet? Eric Duncan.
It's like a poll quote. That's great.
Oh, my God.
Mashable, a global news website headquartered in New York, boasts more than 25 million Twitter followers and 2.5 million fans on Facebook. It entertains, informs, and inspires millions of people around the world, especially Jake Woods, who is in the forefront of social media. I had no idea Mashable was mostly targeted towards Jake. Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Now it seems obvious, but yeah.
Influence is what that is. It's influence.
No kidding. God, that is so good. How do you know it, Rich?
How does he do it? We'll never know because he'll never tell us because job security.
Also because he's not real. He's a machine learning algorithm.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to It's a Thing. Thank you for supporting It's a Thing. Clearly, it makes our entire week just to talk about you. You can become a member of It's a Thing and get access to our Discord where you can talk with your fellow It's a Thing listeners. You'll also get an ad-free RSS feed and much more. Patreon.com/It's a Thing.
Don't forget that email address, feedback@itsathing.me. Keep the things coming.
Keep them coming. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Give it to me. Give it to me.
Hey. Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.